This is your community radio station, 88.3 Southern FM.
And now we have the Space Show. Welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie. On this evening's The Space Show, we have pretty much the whole show with Australian space industry news. But first up then, we have Space Show News. And the news of the week is that Artemis, the moon program, started by former President Trump, is in trouble. Well, we know that we've known that for some time. The Artemis 2 mission, which was to send astronauts around the moon and back to Earth, well, it was to have happened this year. It was delayed until next year. And guess what? It's now delayed until 2026, about March or April of 2026, which means the landing on the moon, which is Artemis 3, is not going to happen until probably 2028. So that was a big announcement made at NASA headquarters. The reason being for the delay about well, a lot of reasons, but the one that was given as the main one was the heat shield on the Artemis 1 mission showed some flaking, and they had to investigate what caused that, and they found the cause, and they've decided that Artemis 2 can fly with a modified trajectory and that a new heat shield will be made for the later missions. So there we go. That's the week's main space news. Now, we're going to go to a discussion with Simon Thompson, and he's with Startup Daily, and he was in conversation with Flavia Tata Nardini, of Fleet Space Technologies, all about the Fleet Space effort. So let's take a listen.
Okay, now let's turn to one of my favourite subjects, as regular viewers will know on the Startup Daily Show, space. And after 1 year of operating in stealth, Australia's lunar exploration mission has been unveiled. The mission by Fleet Space Technologies, along with a range of companies, will send nanosatellites and sensors to the moon to search for resources as part of NASA's Artemis project. To tell us more about what's happening, Fleet Space CEO Flavia Tata Nardini joined us, and I'm thrilled to have her on the show to have a chat because this is so damned exciting. Flavia, to infinity and beyond, this is just amazing. Tell us about Seven Sisters.
We're going to the moon.
Absolutely.
Listen, there is no better Christmas present than this to Australia. You know, Australia has been on a roller coaster of emotion for space in the past 5 years. You know, Fleet was one of the first startups that was founded. Then we had the space agency. And there is such an amazing momentum, but I think it's very inspiring. And something that we have realized 1 year ago is that we need to play a global game here. So a few years ago, the Artemis mission was announced by NASA. The mission is to bring humans back to the moon, actually a woman to the moon, and yeah. Way to Mars. Okay, so we have to be part of this. So Seven Sisters is actually in the Aboriginal mythology and Greek mythologies. They are the companion of Artemis. It's a constellation of stars, so it's a beautiful name. And we kind of put together two of the most amazing things that Australia does well, resources, looking for resources and water in massive distances and space, using small satellites and connectivity to connect Earth and other planets. So I think it's pretty awesome.
I got so excited because it literally was just a couple of months ago. We were up at Coonabarabran and I was showing my kids the Pleiades star system low on the horizon. And it is, it's an incredible story, an Aboriginal Dreamtime storytelling, as well as the Greek side of it. And it just fits so perfectly with this project. Now, you've got about half a dozen partners, your sisters, in this. Tell us a little bit about them.
Listen, Fleet itself, I mean, we are a startup in Adelaide. We have launched the first four small satellites. They're very small satellites, a shoebox, in space 2 years ago. We are deploying a constellation of more than 100. And what we do with them is solving the biggest problem on Earth, right? So what we do, particularly in the past couple of years, what we have done is supporting companies to look for water, maintaining water, look for resources. So we have brought together that kind of, that there are many companies. So at the best of the breed of resources and robotic companies in Australia, you have to bear in mind that some of the automation techniques that Australia has in the middle of nowhere, like Cooper Beatty or the desert, they don't look very dissimilar to another planet. They look very similar. So here's, you know, Mars and South Australia outback are very similar. So years and years of experience. What will happen is that we give the ability to deploy sensors on the moon, passive sensors, okay? Not just sensors that can be there and learn about the moon. It's not easy to go there. So we don't know much about the moon and other planets. We see them from the top. But we give the ability with robots to deploy sensors, very, very environmental friendly, to get to know about the moon, to get to know what is in the surface. And the data will be collected by small satellites and sent to Earth. So we brought together some resource company and Arrows. There is a big consortium of many, many companies in Western Australia. So we are collaborating even with the US and Europe. We have an amazing advisory board. So, yeah, this is how things should be done.
I'm not sure you're going to find as much good wine on Mars as you do in South Australia, but never mind. Now, what do you guys need to pull this project together? You're heading there in 2023. It seems like an incredibly short time frame. What have you got to get done? What's on the tick-off list?
So listen, the good thing is that Fleet is already brought satellites in space. We are already testing all these technologies here. The big difference is when you go into the moon, there are two technological barriers. One is the moon is cold, so you need to ruggedize everything to support those temperature changes, and there is a lot of radiation, so just everything that we have built, it needs to be better, a little bit better. But you know that Australian Space Agency has got a program to support the ecosystem in what is called the Moon to Mars mission, and you know we are going to push it and support it. What we have done as well that I think is very interesting for everyone to know, go on the website, everyone, we have created an explorers programs, and this is for students from school, high schools, primary schools, university, geophysicists, software, everyone that love in Australia and outside Australia to go on the moon with us. We need people to look at the data. We will get so much data out of the moon, and it will be fantastic with all the capabilities that we have to everyone looking at them. So what we need everyone, you know, because this is going to be the most incredible thing for Australia in the coming year. So we need, from your sons and daughters to mine, I've got two little ones, just the brain power and their enthusiasm to go.
Yeah, so this is the really cool part. You've just sort of basically stolen my next question. But if you jump on 7thenumbersisters.com.au, you're looking basically to crowdsource kids who are enthused and engaged, you know, watch Buzz Lightyear and now they want to be part of it, to be part of this project and help. They can be scientists in this as well.
We can, well, what our idea is going to be to go there, gather data and share data so everyone can have access. You know, we have studied planets a lot from the outside. We really don't know. There's so much we don't know. Like this for me, and I'm a big fan of this concept, is the passion of exploring. We need to do it in the right way. We need to do it in an environmental friendly way. We need to do it for knowledge. We need to do it for the inside inspiration of humankind to understand. And we cannot give a better gift to all this generation that dream big and come with us. So getting all of this data in schools and universities and understand how many beautiful things that we don't know yet about our universe.
So when this project launches and you get the chance to go around the moon, what is the chance that Australia will get to claim that we are the country that found water on the moon, which is essential to all the other ambitions globally that we have in terms of space exploration?
Listen, I think it's a matter of speed because we know resources are there and we have done these things on Earth. Australia is putting itself in the highest of highest scenes regarding what we call industrial IoT and resources. So if we go fast, and we go there, and this is why startup like us, you know, we don't stop. This could be historical. So in the next 3-4 years, we got a big responsibility to do something great again. And I think we'll get there.
It's just a wonderful note to end 2020 on. Flavia, thank you so much. Buon Natale, Merry Christmas. Look forward to more of this conversation throughout 2021 and onwards. All the
everyone.
Best.
This is a country exercise, so follow us and dream with us.
Absolutely. So, as I said, jump on the sevensisters.com.au site, sign up. You could be part of this project. Absolutely amazing.
And that was Startup Daily's Simon Thompson there. One of the satellites placed into orbit by the Transporter 11 launch was to be Impulse 2. It hosted a camera called Holmes, supplied by the Australian company HEO Robotics. It is a telescopic space camera dedicated to imaging satellites. The telescope has an aperture of 94 millimetres and has a field of view of 0.4 degrees. It has a mass of 2.3 kilograms and requires a 6-watt power supply from its host satellite. HEO Robotics has a partnership with the University Technology Sydney's Tech Lab to develop the technology for future cameras. Well, earlier this year, a large European Space Agency satellite called ERS-2 made an uncontrolled re-entry, sparking a worldwide debris alert. The HEO company was able to take pictures of the doomed satellite in its final orbits.
HEO, an Australian company with an office in the United Kingdom, captured from space images taken by other satellites that showed ERS-2 as it rotated on its journey back to Earth. The United Kingdom Space Agency is working with HEO as part of ongoing research to support safe and sustainable space operations. The images were shared with the European Space Agency, who are tracking the re-entry of the ERS-2 satellite. ERS-2 was the most sophisticated Earth observation satellite of its time, launching in 1995 and operating successfully for 16 years. It gathered data on the Earth's land, oceans and polar ice caps, and helped to monitor the impacts of natural disasters, from floods to earthquakes. United Kingdom scientists and engineers from organizations, including Astriam, now Airbus, the Rutherford Appleton Laboratory, Oxford University, the Mullard Space Science Laboratory and the Met Office, were involved in the satellite's design, build and scientific instruments.
The United Kingdom Space Agency is well aware of the need for safe space operations.
Angus Stewart is head of space surveillance and tracking at the United Kingdom Space Agency. He said,
"There are thousands of operational and defunct satellites in orbit around the Earth, and the ability to operate safely in space and bring the benefits back to Earth is growing increasingly challenging. As well as capturing these images as part of our work with HEO, the UK Space Agency operates the UKS Re-entry Warning Service and has tasked our UK sensors to observe the re-entry of ERS-2. We shared data with the European Space Agency and other international partners through the Interagency Space Debris Coordination Committee and other forums to support satellite re-entries."
William Crowe is Chief Executive Officer of HEO and said,
"HEO is adding a new data source at scale with non-Earth imaging.
We know this technology is critical for removing debris actively in orbit, and we're excited to work with the United Kingdom Space Agency to test the effectiveness of non-Earth imaging for determining where space debris will land when entering the atmosphere. This could transform the way we think about public safety when it comes to space.
Crowe went on to explain,
non-Earth imaging involves using space-based sensors to capture resolved imagery of resident space objects. These objects can include active or inactive spacecraft, rocket bodies and upper stages, or uncontrolled space debris. HEO uses flyby inspections, where one satellite images another satellite as it flies past, as opposed to close-in inspection mission, which requires the imaging spacecraft to approach the space object as a rendezvous and proximity operation.
On February the 6th, HEO announced a partnership with the United States company Impulse Space for non-Earth imaging services. Now, who, you may well be wondering, are Impulse Space?
Impulse Space, the in-space transportation company founded by Tom Mueller, is opening access beyond low Earth orbit with its fleet of in-space transportation vehicles. The flight-proven Myra vehicle uses a non-toxic, high-impulse chemical propulsion system to offer orbital transport, constellation deployment, and precision reentry services to customers throughout low Earth orbit. The high-energy Helios vehicle unlocks orbits beyond low Earth orbit with its powerful Deneb engine, dropping off payloads in middle Earth orbit, geostationary Earth orbit, heliocentric, lunar, and other planetary orbits. Led by a team that delivered what are claimed to be the most reliable rockets in history, Impulse provides economical and efficient in-space transportation by reliably and rapidly getting customers where they want to go.
In announcing the partnership with Impulse, HEO released this statement.
Under the agreement, Impulse will host HEO's in-space imager, HOMES-007, onboard a Myra orbital transfer vehicle as part of the LEO Express 2 mission. This will be HEO's third HOMES imager in space and the only commercial camera dedicated to non-Earth imaging in high-low Earth orbit, presenting new prospects for satellite inspection. This higher orbit will be reachable thanks to Myra's powerful 22 Newton Scythe thrusters. HEO co-founder and chief executive officer Will Crowe said,
"A major challenge for non-Earth imaging is coverage, and this is the first step of a long-term partnership to serve demand for this imaging data across many orbits."
Working hand-in-hand with HEO's automated smart tasking systems, Myra will provide hosting services such as power, communications, orbit raising, attitude control, and others to successfully complete NEO missions. Impulse Space founder and chief executive officer Tom Mueller said,
"With rapid and responsive maneuverability, Myra is uniquely positioned to help HEO capture valuable imagery. Having recently demonstrated several high-precision maneuvers with Myra on our LEO Express 1 mission, including attitude control, we're excited to see how customers can take advantage of our capabilities on future missions."
HEO feeds data from HOMES images and other satellite sensors into HEO Inspect, an in-orbit satellite inspection software platform that provides invaluable information on spacecraft at scale. Since its unveiling, HEO Inspect has been used by governments, defense agencies, and the commercial sector, serving as a vital tool to achieve high revisit and timely collection for the rapid identification and characterization of spacecraft. Recently, HEO released HEO Inspect 2.0, which added new features like attitude estimation, pattern of life analysis, and rapid identification for space objects.
And more Australian space industry news coming up.
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
Where this is the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. And I'm Andrew Rennie. I have long been amazed at how many people regard anything above our Earth's atmosphere as being among the stars. Given that the nearest star, the Sun excepted, is 40 trillion kilometres away, even Neptune, our most distant planet at nearly 4.5 billion kilometres from the Sun, is nowhere near the stars. To put it another way, the nearest star to the Sun, Proxima Centauri, is 10,000 times further away than Neptune. No surprise, then, that a headline on page 19 of the April 15 edition of the Australian Financial Review caught my attention. This stupid headline said, and I quote, "Rio shoots for stars with Mars exploration tech," end quote. Now, reporters don't always get to write headlines for their articles. That is often done by an editor or sub-editor. So, let's not blame Brad Thompson for that silly headline. The headline aside, Brad's article was quite interesting. When the Australian Financial Review uses the word Rio in a headline, it is not referring to a river, but rather to the mining company Rio Tinto. The article quotes Rio Tinto as saying technology used in the exploration of Mars can help it speed up the quest for new copper and lithium mines. The Curiosity Mars Science Laboratory carries a laser that, when directed at rocks, can vaporize a small patch. A spectroscope analyzes the light from the resultant plasma. The spectrum reveals what elements are present, allowing geologists to identify the minerals present. Curiosity landed on Mars in 2012 and is still exploring the red planet. The technique is known as laser-induced breakdown spectroscopy. Rio Tinto has been working on applying the technology in mining since 2019. According to the Australian Financial Review article, the technology eliminates the need for teams of geologists to spend thousands of hours collecting data from core samples produced in drilling and the long delays in sending samples off for laboratory analysis. The technique can detect even the lightest elements, such as lithium, within 60 minutes of a scan. The precision of the elemental scan obviates the problem where different geologists call the same rock by different names. Now to the South Australian satellite Kanyini that was launched earlier this year. Oriel Morrison spoke to Catherine Grace about the South Australian satellite Kanyini.
In a landmark moment for South Australia's space sector, the state's first government-funded satellite has successfully launched on board a SpaceX rocket. Built by local companies, the satellite, Kanyini, will provide critical data for research on sustainability, climate impacts and disaster prediction. I'm joined now by Dr. Catherine Grace, the Director of Space at the South Australian Space Industry Centre. Catherine, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about the Kanyini satellite and its ultimate mission.
Absolutely, and such a pleasure to be here. I think when we talk about the ultimate mission of Kanyini, it's great to start with the name. So Kanyini is actually a Pitjantjatjara word from the APY lands of northern South Australia, and the concept is unconditional love and responsibility for all creation. And it's a perfect culmination of what Kanyini really brings and how it meets its ultimate mission. So not only does the satellite provide spaceflight heritage, so that's getting our South Australian industry up into space, but it really brings the benefits of space back down to Earth. And that's what really matters, how we can use our space technology and our cutting edge innovation to bring benefits to everyone here on Earth.
So how long is the satellite going to be in orbit gathering data?
The satellite, which is a 6U bus built by the fantastic South Australian company Innovor, has a 5-year in-orbit lifespan. At this point in time, we're looking at gathering data for a period of 3 years to help government, industry and academia make well-informed, better decisions.
So what sort of challenges did you and the team face in developing and launching South Australia's first satellite? It's a big job.
It's a big job, and anyone who knows space and even just the general public can really appreciate that space is hard. Space is tricky. And I think one of the challenges here was that Kanini itself is innovative because it has two different payloads. These are pieces of technology that go on the satellite and have different purposes. So one of them is a hyperspectral camera. And so that takes pictures down of the Earth outside of the visible spectrum, so it can see things we can't see and even gauge a bit of temperature. Now that's on the satellite, along with an Internet of Things little beacon that's talking down to different IoT devices on Earth. Now the reason having those two on board was quite tricky because in space, their electromagnetic differences between the two are quite different. So we had a lot of bugs to work out. We needed to say, can the camera work? Can the IoT work? The biggest challenge was making sure that everything turns on and functions. This was a first ever satellite, putting these two together and being designed, built, and put together right here in SA. So a lot of challenges, but happy to say, going so far, so good.
So what does it mean overall? I mean, you've just talked about this is a very big deal for South Australia and, of course, its ambition to lead the space sector in Australia. What does this success mean?
Really, the success means not only do we have industry uplift, it means not only is Australia on the world map for saying, hey, we can do this. We have this innovation. We have this expertise. But I think what it really means is all of those students that are in university, in grade school, heck, even public servants that people like me can say, there's a job in space and it's right here. It's homegrown. We're using technology that other people aren't doing elsewhere. We're able to really innovate, and that's a huge inspiration. So you can study, you can bring your tech, and you can do meaningful work in space right here in SA. So I'm pretty proud of that one.
And you should be. Well, you should be. Now, what's next on the horizon for South Australia? Space, of course, is a very high stakes, high reward sector. We've got regions everywhere around the world competing for this. So what's next on the horizon for South Australia?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. And so I really appreciate this sort of nod as South Australia is the space state. You know, we're home to the Australian Space Agency. We've got over 100 space companies. We've got our world-leading academic institutions doing phenomenal work in space. One of them that I will throw a plug out for is Plants for Space. And that's about using space tech to develop plants in the microgravity atmosphere, understand what's going on, but really to bring food and high quality food in closed system environments back down on Earth. So that's a really big piece that I'm quite excited for. The other really big milestone for South Australia, and I'm going to say the whole sector, is having Kanini work and deliver the data back down. So we're doing projects that are going to benefit all of Australians, not just South Australians. So things like the AquaWatch project, which lets us know what's going on with water levels, with seagrass, with aquifers, heat sink projects for local council. So we've got council being able to understand where are the effects of climate change within their local council area and how can we mediate these? What does it mean to plant a tree? And that's super exciting because you can walk down the street and know this space tech is making our life better. And that's a huge milestone for all Australians. And also even using the Kanini data to benefit crops and farmers to understand what's going on with crop health. How can we use our tech to benefit the agri-tech sector, the everyday person? And I'm so excited because that means we can not only lead the nation in space, but bring everyone along with us to say space matters to your everyday life.
So, Catherine, on a personal level, what drew you to the world of space technology?
Oh, that's an excellent question. And for me, I've got a bit of a different story or a different background, not necessarily in space. So I'm actually a physician, and I went from practicing in the hospital and taking care of people day to day to being in the space sector because I wanted to have an impact and participate in something that's a little bit bigger than myself. So I'm a huge fan of disruptive technology and what that brings to people. South Australia and Australia were on the brink of the space sector. So being able to participate in that, it gives me something really meaningful to wake up to every morning.
Fantastic. Catherine, thank you so much for sharing your expertise and for joining us.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and thanks for making space in everyday conversation.
That conversation between Arielle Morrison and Catherine Grace came to us courtesy of APAC. When a new satellite is launched, the rocket companies have to check that it will not collide with other satellites and debris already in orbit. Of course, such collision alerts are only good for a few days, and thereafter the newcomer is at risk. The South Australian company Paladin Space is well aware of the risk and intends to do something about it, as described in the state government press release.
South Australian company Paladin Space will use a $100,000 state government grant to progress its work into reducing the risk posed to spacecraft by space debris. This debris includes defunct satellites, rocket parts, and much smaller items orbiting the Earth. Currently, there is an estimated 9,000 tons of space debris orbiting Earth, traveling at speeds of 27,000 kilometers per hour, which is posing a risk to the long-term safety of space activities. Harrison Box, the founder of Paladin Space, is developing the world-leading reusable space debris remover that will benefit commercial satellite owners, the defense industry, and government space agencies. Mr. Box is a former graduate of University of South Australia's Venture Catalyst Space Program. Working with the Australian Institute for Machine Learning, Paladin Space will use a $100,000 seed start grant to develop new image processing techniques to help identify space debris using artificial intelligence. The grant will also help refine its novel capture design technology and finalize a prototype for demonstration by mid-2025, accelerating the pathway to market and attracting further investment funding. Paladin Space will join 8 other South Australian startups as part of an Australian delegation to the United States from the 27th of October to the 2nd of November. Sponsored by the South Australian government and hosted by Tribe Global Ventures, Paladin Space will pursue significant business development opportunities, including meeting with SpaceX and NASA to pitch its debris removal technology. SeedStart provides grant funding for high-growth potential businesses through the South Australian government's Research and Innovation Fund. Susan Close, South Australia's Deputy Premier and Minister for Industry, Innovation and Science, said, "The South Australian government is proud to support innovations like Paladin Space's reusable space debris remover through SeedStart grants provided through the Research and Innovation Fund. As home to the nation-leading Australian Institute for Machine Learning, South Australia is leading the way in artificial intelligence technologies, and Paladin Space is working with the Institute to develop its AI-enabled satellite that can capture and remove space debris. It's no surprise that this innovation has captured the attention of local and international investors and space organizations. I wish Paladin Space and all the other South Australian startups the very best for their upcoming United States mission and business growth opportunities." Stephen Mulligan, South Australian Treasurer and Minister for Defence and Space Industries, said, "The South Australian government has a clear vision to create a thriving and enduring space sector, and we are investing in programs and initiatives that will continue to build our state's and our nation's innovative and world-class space capabilities. This $100,000 grant will provide a boost for Paladin Space and the South Australian space sector and underscores the state's position as a leading incubator for space technology. This support paves the way for a sustainable future in space and ensures South Australia remains at the forefront of this exciting industry." Harrison Box, the founder and chief executive officer of Paladin Space, said, "With an estimated 9,000 tons of space debris currently scattered in orbit and moving at extremely high speeds, a piece as small as a pen lid could easily damage any satellite in its way and put astronauts at risk. Our SeedStart grant will help us explore new image processing techniques with support from the Australian Institute for Machine Learning, refine our novel capture design technology, and demonstrate our debris removal capability on a global stage.
One of the tasks of the Australian Space Agency is to set policy governing our country's space activities. To this end, the agency has released a potential policy on the sustainability of space activities. Here's a summary of what is proposed.
The Australian Space Agency is seeking input on a potential Australian sustainability of space activities policy, which aims to support the long-term viability of the space sector, inclusive of industry, academia, and government, so Australians can continue to benefit from space services for current and future generations. The paper outlines 8 themes that an Australian sustainability of space activities policy could include. The themes are informed by Australia's unique characteristics and competitive advantages, as well as recent space sustainability policies released by Australia's international partners, namely the United States, New Zealand, the United Kingdom, Canada, European Union, Japan, and India. Space is integral to Australian life more than ever before. We rely on space-enabled technologies to deliver essential services such as telecommunications, financial management and transactions, emergency response and recovery, environmental monitoring, air and maritime surveillance, and air traffic management. Space capabilities also strengthen our national security and protect our national interest. The utilization of space is increasing as both governments and private entities undertake space-related activities. With the increase in space activities comes congestion and risks within outer space, such as collisions between satellites, which can result in a loss of critical services that support life on Earth, and a heightened risk of Kessler syndrome, where certain orbits could become unsuitable for use, thereby limiting future access to space services and capabilities. The sustainable use of space and assuring access to space is a global problem requiring a global response. Australia's international partners are responding to the rising environmental and economic risks by releasing policies and initiatives that identify ways for their national sectors to pivot to more sustainable practices. Two of the key issues for Australia's space sector regarding the sustainability of space activities are: the global space economy is moving to more sustainable practices, and we must adapt or risk becoming uncompetitive, and we need to protect the space assets Australia relies on that deliver essential services such as communications, positioning, navigation and timing, and Earth observation. The Australian government has drawn on these elements to identify 8 themes which could feature in an Australian sustainability of space activities policy. Encouraging best business practice and building an economically resilient sector through the adoption of sustainable business processes. Supporting the development and implementation of rules and norms that seek to support the safety, stability and sustainability of outer space, including through international engagement. Reducing risks to space assets that provide essential services to Australia through space debris mitigation and related activities. Embedding First Nations cultural and scientific knowledge to complement and harness Australia's scientific and economic potential. Building social license around space activities, including fostering positive relationships with impacted communities. Supporting astronomy and space science by advocating for the protection of dark and quiet skies. Ensuring the supply of critical enablers for space activities, such as the global geodesy supply chain, through building international partnerships and other initiatives. Remediating space debris to protect the space assets that provide essential services to Australia.
Southern FM.
The sounds of the Bayside.
Where you're listening to The Space Show, looking at some Australian industry developments. Now, much of the traffic on the internet travels by photons along glass fibres in cables that encircle our planet. You may have heard recently of the Chinese ship that is alleged to have dragged its anchor along the seabed of the Baltic Sea and broken at least 2 of those cables. Well, with more and more data moving through the internet, the hunt is on for better glass that is less absorbent of light. One such glass is ZBLAN, which, having been spun into hair-like fibres in the microgravity environment of the International Space Station, is now being tested in South Australia.
The University of Adelaide has received five spools of ZBLAN optical fibres from industry partner Flawless Photonics. The next generation space fibres were produced in microgravity on board the International Space Station. An in-depth analysis of the fibres will now be undertaken, which will assess their performance and the impact the fibres will have on quantum communication. The glass rods of ZBLAN, an exotic glass for ultra-low-loss optical fibre, from which the fibre was drawn on board International Space Station, were supplied by the ANFF Optofab team at the University of Adelaide. Known for its ultra-low-loss properties, ZBLAN is ideal for high-bandwidth, long-distance telecommunication applications, said the University of Adelaide's Professor Ebendorf Heidpreem. The backbone of the internet is expected to remain cable-based, and ZBLAN fiber is a promising candidate to meet the increasing global demand for data. ZBLAN glass is being explored as a promising alternative to current silica-based telecommunication cables, with the potential for faster data transfer and high-capacity internet connections. The glass is known for its ultra-low-loss properties and is ideal for high-bandwidth, long-distance telecommunication application. For ZBLAN fiber to deliver on its potential of being the most transparent material that can be manufactured, two obstacles must be overcome, said the University of Adelaide's Professor Ebendorf Heidpreem. First, gravity causes the ZBLAN to crystallize during the fiber drawing process, and second, the purity of the glass must be enhanced by a factor of 1,000 for it to fulfill its maximum potential. Flawless Photonics engineered a compact fiber-drawing device specifically for use in space, which were launched aboard a SpaceX resupply mission in 2024 January. The fibers were drawn on board the International Space Station in March. Microgravity provides a unique opportunity to eliminate the crystallization challenge that we face on Earth, said Ebendorf Heidpreem. Upon reaching the International Space Station, NASA astronaut Jasmine Mobella successfully installed and operated the fiber-drawing module transforming ZBLAN glass rods into fibers. This effort resulted in the first historic milestone of this collaboration, the creation of over 11 kilometers of ZBLAN optical fiber, setting a world record for space-based optical fiber production. After initial inspection by Flawless Photonics, hundreds of meters of space fibers were sent to Adelaide for a thorough examination by Professor Ebendorf Heidpreem and her team. Other research groups globally are analyzing the fibers in parallel. Seven of the draws went beyond 700 meters, showcasing that it is possible to produce commercial lengths of fiber in space, said Flawless Photonics CEO Rob Loffen. The longest draw went above 1141 meters, setting a record for the longest fiber manufactured in space. We are excited to see the initial results of our collaboration and look forward to the university's analysis. This project underscores the transformative potential of academic industry partnerships. The combined expertise of Flawless Photonics in space-based manufacturing and of the University of Adelaide in glass science and fiber fabrication is driving significant progress in telecommunications technology. Our next step involves a detailed analysis of these space-manufactured fibers, said Ebendorf Heidpreem. By comparing them with fibers drawn on Earth, we hope to deepen our understanding of how microgravity influences their properties. The results of the analysis will be crucial for optimizing the space-based manufacturing process, as the university and Flawless Photonics work to unlock the full potential of ZBLAN fibers. The results of the analysis will be presented by Ebendorf Heidpreem at the Australian and New Zealand Conference on Optics and Photonics in Melbourne in December.
Space domain awareness is knowing what satellites are in orbit, where they are, how big they are, and what their purpose is. The Australian Defence Force has recently begun to pay attention to this need.
The Australian Defence Science and Technology Group has developed an experimental capability to inform and shape the acquisition of an operational space domain awareness system for Australia. The Space Domain Awareness Research Environment, known as Research and Development Space Target Awareness and Response, or Red Star, is at an initial functional stage and continues to evolve. The Red Star system accepts data from multiple sources, including space domain awareness sensors and space object catalogs such as space-track.org. Data from multiple heterogeneous space domain awareness sensors can be processed, including various ground-based sensor types such as optical telescopes and radar systems. In addition to data from real sensors observing real objects in space, modeling and simulation is used in Red Star to generate data from simulated sensors observing simulated objects or a blend of real and simulated events to support a SimOverLiv configuration. A repository allows the collection, storage, curation, and retrieval of space domain awareness data for analysis and for evaluation of prototype algorithms to support space domain awareness functions. Tools for performing multi-sensor orbit determination and photometric analysis may be implemented and evaluated using Red Star, which enables processing and visualization functions. The data management software for Red Star uses an agile software approach to develop a cloud-native, containerized application suite of cooperating services. The Red Star system supports space intelligence analytics using multiple sources to determine space object information such as size, shape, function, and attitude. The First Nations peoples of Australia, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, have been observing the sky for millennia. Observations of celestial objects have been used by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders to inform navigation, calendars, food availability and weather. Astronomical phenomena serve as the foundation for narratives that have passed from elders to new generations through song, dance and storytelling. Sputnik 1, launched by the Soviet Union during the International Geophysical Year in 1957, was the first human-made object to orbit the Earth. Australia joined international efforts with public and government monitoring activities focused on detection of Sputnik 1 using optical and radio frequency sensors. Australia agreed to host two tracking stations at the Woomera Test Range in South Australia, which were used to support the US program for the Vanguard 1 satellite launched in 1958. In 1967, Australia's first satellite, the Weapons Research Establishment Satellite, RESAT, was launched from the Woomera Test Range using a modified US Redstone rocket. The RESAT carried upper atmospheric radiation measurement experiments designed at the University of Adelaide and successfully transmitted scientific information to tracking and research stations around the world. A network of sensors was used to track RESAT during its 42 days in orbit. The U.S. Space Surveillance Network monitors space objects in space and includes two sensor systems that are currently operated in Australia, C-band Space Surveillance Radar and 2 Space Surveillance Telescope. The Australian Deep Space Advanced Radar capability is planned for operations by 2026. Australia contributes to the U.S. Joint Commercial Operations, which is a U.S. Space Force-led initiative using industry providers to deliver space domain awareness capabilities. The Joint Commercial Operations operates across 3 regional cells, Americas, Pacific and Meridian. Sprint Advanced Concept Training exercises have served as an environment for exploring new data, tools and concepts from the commercial sector. Australia's defence and national security interests span multiple operating domains. Access to services that are reliant on the space domain, such as satellite communications, intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance information, and position, navigation, and timing are critical for defence and civil operations. Assurance of access to the space domain is needed to support Australia's integrated force for operations by the Australian Defence Force, whether the operations are conducted within Australia or overseas. An awareness of objects and activities in the space domain is necessary for protecting and defending space assets and services. The Australian Space Agency is also developing a civil space monitoring capability to enhance safety of space traffic. Australia's Defence Science and Technology Group is the Australian government's lead agency responsible for applying science and technology to safeguard Australia. Defence Science and Technology Group today applies science and technology to provide evidence that can shape and inform space services. Defence Science and Technology Group's Small Satellite Buccaneer Risk Mitigation Mission and Buccaneer Main Mission build on the space legacy established by the RESAT and other space projects. An operational space domain awareness system is one of many Australian defence programs supported by Defence Science and Technology Group evidence. An experimental space domain awareness system known as the Research and Development Space Target Awareness and Response System, Red Star, has been developed by a Defense Science and Technology Group-led team. Red Star continues to evolve in response to stakeholder needs. In early 2021, Defense Science and Technology Group commenced development of the Experimental Space Domain Awareness System, Red Star, to inform and shape Australia's space domain awareness capabilities. Prioritized requirements for Red Star are developed by Defense Science and Technology Group personnel in consultation with defense and other stakeholders. The Red Star team consists of Defense Science and Technology Group personnel working with contracted personnel from Saab Australia, Lockheed Martin Australia, Intrack Solutions and Swordfish Computing. Optical observations using the Defense Science and Technology Group Observatory formed part of Australia's participation in coordinated space domain awareness experiments which were conducted by Defense Science and Technology organisations of the Five Eyes Nations, the United Kingdom, United States, Australia, Canada and New Zealand. The experiments were designed to develop and test capabilities to perform space domain awareness under challenging conditions. These included the tracking from launch through to rendezvous and docking in geostationary Earth orbit for commercial life extension missions of Mission Extension Vehicle 1 with Intelsat 901 in 2020 and Mission Extension Vehicle 2 with Intelsat 10-02 in 2021.
The SmartSat Cooperative Research Centre is an Adelaide-based space research centre. It is one-third funded by the federal government, with other funds coming from over 100 national and international partners. In May last year, it began a new research program called Maya Nula, which aims to develop Australian satellite Earth observation capability with space sensor technology to advance Australia's agriculture industry. In the Darang language, Maya Nula means eyes here, there, everywhere. The SmartSat-led initiative aims to create an agricultural intelligence capability from space. It will facilitate innovative research projects to address the growing need for Australian farmers to reduce risk and boost agricultural productivity through environmentally friendly processes. It will also support implementing and reporting on improved climate resilient and sustainable farming practices. SmartSat says it will develop a series of projects to deliver a measurement, reporting and verification tool for communicating sustainable farming practices on soil health, crop conditions, biosecurity and the environment. Well, you've been listening to The Space Show, which has been looking at some Australian space news. And we'll have more Australian space news on next week's The Space Show. You can find The Space Show at space.southernfm.com.au. That's space.southernfm.com.au. I'm Andrew Rennie. The Space Show next week.